Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
It's so good to be with you. I want you to come in your Bible this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm gonna break out in some artistic endeavors this morning, being raised under a spiritual artist, Pastor Phil. And I'm going to do some amazing diagrams that are going to blow your mind. The verse says, he's saying, may the God of peace make you holy in every way and make your whole, W-H-O-L-E. The topic of my message this morning is holistic awesomeness. And I spell it with a W-H because Jesus died and rose again to make us whole people. So we're going to talk a little bit about the parts of who we are. As God is in three, I believe as humans we are in three. And so you got to be really careful when you draw that diagram. You got to be careful when you draw that one as well. Paul says, I'm praying and I'm believing that you would be whole, spirit, soul, and body, and that you would be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 16, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? I want to talk about the soul a bit this morning. We know that the redemptive work, that's a ghost, by the way. That's your spirit. Did you get that? Okay. No, you didn't. Yeah, I know. That's why I had to say it. That's your spirit. That's your body. Okay. There's another part of us that is, I drew it like this. That's your soul. I'm going to talk a little bit about this part of us. Now, a lot of times we love to talk about the spirit part of us. And that's the part of us that is instantly transformed when we receive Jesus into our life, where we instantly go from being alienated by God. I think I've got some water down there, Andy. Is that one? I think it's next to your thigh. Yeah, that'll do. There's one. So we're instantly, I was trying to save water by drinking out of the one I already drank out of. We're instantly transformed by the saving power of the blood of Christ. It's an instant transformation. We know this because when we give our life to Christ, we're accepted into God's presence. I have my bishop rag here because I'll sweat in a minute. I get into it, okay? I'm just going to warn you. When Jesus comes into our life spiritually, we are instantly catapulted into intimacy and beautiful, perfect union with the creator of the universe. There is nothing in our past that can stop the blood of Jesus from creating access into the presence of God. Right? That happens that quick. 31 years ago, I came to the little Catholic hall in Oaks Avenue where Pastor Phil was preaching and just started his church. And I got invited along. I had no intention of giving my life to Christ. I had no intention of changing anything of how I thought or behaved or anything about my life. But I came into the presence of God like this, the worship. We had pianos back then. And I came in and it was different. I hadn't grown up in it with any kind of real spirituality in my life. Didn't have a spiritual family. I'm the first generation of born again, spirit filled people in my whole lineage. And so I come along and I discover Jesus. I turn around and Pastor Mark Kelsey's there as my new Christian counselor. And I was instantly, I was such a bad person. I was terrible. I was angry. I was hateful. I can remember when I was about 15 going to my buddy's house And I used to store my surfboard in his garage, and I'd go there and get my wetsuit on and take my surfboard out. I'd come back, and I saw these two $2 notes. Now, in the olden days, young people, we used to have notes that were $2. Now they're coins, but they used to be notes. Who remembers the $2 note? What color was it?
Green.
Correct. So two green $2 notes were kind of sitting on a shelf or something. And I came back from my surf, and I'm tailing off, and I'm looking at the $4. And in my heart, I conceived to steal them. It just kind of, it wasn't, the devil didn't make me do it, because I didn't even know who the devil was. I was just selfish. My soul had a bunch of junk in it. And so I remember to this moment that feeling of doing wrong. I remember what it was like thinking about it, pondering it. I'm getting dressed, I'm drying off, and I'm thinking about it, and my soul is raging with wanting to take this money. I thought about it in my mind. Jesus said, what benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? The word is psyche. This is spirit, pneuma. There's several different words for the soul. Anytime you see the word heart, which is cardia, that's all in the same group. This is the seat of our emotions, our intellect, our ability to work out right from wrong starts in here. Spiritually, whole. Soul, not so much. Outward working of sin through the body. I thought about taking the $4. I conceived it. I dwelt. I only took a few minutes to convince myself that I could justify taking $2. Well, I took the money. And it was one of my best friends. And I took the money, and they came down, his dad came down, and they couldn't find the $4. And they looked everywhere. And I remember when my friend told me the story that his father said, Dean couldn't have taken that $4. He just wouldn't do it. Needless to say, I lost the friendship, kind of put a little separation between me and my mates because of something I did so petty and little, but so massive that I conceived to do wrong. Now, once I met Jesus, I can't stand here and tell you that all those bad things that were rolling around in my mind instantly changed. Because even though I was instantly accepted into God's presence as a son of God, I was being saved in this area of my life because I was still doing things that weren't glorifying God. In fact, if we're honest, after 31 years, I know there's still sometimes when my body is not glorifying God. Now, thank God that over a period of time, the process of God, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, hopefully what happens is that Jesus and the strength of my spiritual life, because this is where faith is. This is where Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but when I pray in words, my mind is praying. He's differentiating. There's spirit and there's mind. I can sing in the spirit and I can worship in the spirit and I can worship with my mind, with my understanding. Right. So there's a difference. And so what happens is through the redemptive spiritual work that happens instantly in my life, I find myself as a human in this position where I have to deal with my mind. Now the mind, I believe, is the battlefield. That's where spiritual warfare happens. I'm of the mind that the devil has been defeated. I don't have to worry about the devil. I don't have to worry about him doing anything. He's defeated. He's under everything. Oh, you know, I don't have to worry anything about that. Spiritually, I got no problem. But in my soul is where I have to allow the redemptive work of Jesus. Let me read out of Mark 7. Then Jesus called the crowd to come. He says, all you listen, try to understand. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. Mark 7, 14, verse 15. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled which comes from your heart. Not your spirit, your cardia. He wasn't talking about your beating heart. He was talking about the center, the seat of your understanding, the ability to choose right from wrong, the layers of your humanity. Out of the heart come all kinds of things. Then he starts listing them, which is just very troubling. He says, it's what comes from the inside, verse 20. From within a person's heart come, first one, evil thoughts. Now, not all thoughts are evil. As the process of, what does the Bible say? The transformation of the renewing of our mind, Romans chapter 12, the process of renewal starts to shift the thoughts that aren't glorifying, that aren't going to have a great outcome in my life, and start to get replaced with thoughts, dwell on thinking about good things, the Bible says. But I still have conflict. In fact, Paul uses a whole chapter in Romans to talk about the conflict of wanting to do the right thing, but doing the wrong thing. And he doesn't want to do the wrong thing, he wants to do the right thing, but there's conflict. The conflict isn't spiritually, it's in this part of our humanity. Jesus says, out of the heart come evil thoughts. And then he lists more things, which is really scary. Sexual immorality. Theft. That was me. Murder. Haven't done that one, thank God. Adultery. Greed. Wickedness. Deceit. Lustful desires. Envy. Something is you know, to the Ten Commandments, they use the word covet. Covet not. Envy, being envious of what someone else has, that's conceived in the soul. If you're never content with what you have and you're always looking at what someone else has, you'll have a broken bit in your soul, and you can pray and fast and read the Bible, but sometimes you've got to deal with things that are going on in your soul if you want to create some momentum in your life to get somewhere that you haven't been yet. Amen. Lustful desires, envy, slander, what we say. It's interesting to me that Jesus lists all these really bad things with some things that maybe we perceive aren't that bad. They're things of the soul. They're things we think about that have a degenerative effect on wholeness. Jesus came to make us whole. Jesus came to bring wholeness, not just spiritually, but into our soul, a whole soul that has an outwork that looks more and more like Jesus. Man, I got so much here. We're going to keep unpacking this tonight as well. Come to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 14. This can seem, because, you know, momentum's the theme, and we had a very good year last year. The 3 years before that were hell. And I love saying it because you're not allowed to say hell in America. It's like a bad word, but I kind of come to Australia because it's not a bad word. So, but I still say it. We had 3 years of hell. Not in the sense that for Dean and Jill, but just, you know, our passion for growing the church and planting churches. And you know, we just had a few things not go right. And you can get a bit discouraged. You know, you might have a business, or you might be having a career path that you're on, or you might have some issues going on in your marriage and relationships. All these are really important things in our life. And I found that you can't replace things that are real and dysfunctional in your soul with extra spirit stuff. And what the church, what we like to do as spirit-filled believers is we go to more spirit, but we neglect the soul. And instead of dealing with, we want spirit, I want more faith, I want to grow strong in faith, I want to do miracles. I want fresh vision and dreams from God. That all comes into my spirit, man. But if I don't deal with and look at a renewing mind process going in my soul, I'm going to find it really difficult to build any kind of momentum and get anywhere where God wants to take me. Because a lot of times I get up and going, but it's these things that are going on here that I haven't dealt with which trip me up. And if I don't deal with them, I'm going to be frustrated. And that's when people backslide. That's when people just give up and they go, this is just too hard. It's too hard to deal with these issues. But Jesus gives us the power. Paul says here, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees. Verse 16, I pray from his glorious unlimited resources that he will empower you with inner strength. That I would get strong on the inside. He's not talking about spiritual stuff at this point. There's lots of verses about that. I've preached a million sermons about that. I just want to talk about the soul, because to be whole is to allow ourselves. It's like having a Maserati or a Ferrari sitting in there, leather seats, beautiful, amazing engine, but four flat tires. Having a soul that's broken and a spirit that's strong is like having an amazing car, but the tires are flat. And you can't go hardly anywhere, let alone quickly. But what Jesus wants to do is bring wholeness spiritually in our soul, in our mind. That's why there are certain gateways that we all understand that are, Jesus said, the eyes are the lamp of the body. And when we allow light to come in, it fills our body. But if we don't, darkness comes in. And how great is that darkness when we think it's light, but it's actually darkness. So some of the gateways into our soul are what we see, what we hear. That's why the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing, separating spirit from soul, Hebrews chapter 4. You see how there's a difference between growing spiritually and getting the word of God to actually deal with some of our soul issues. Our thinking. I'm not talking about mental illness here this morning, because that's a whole different subject. Sickness of the mind is a separate issue that I'm talking about. I'm talking about undisciplined thinking. Because, you know, a few years ago I was on this big thing about physical fitness, and I came to my church. I said, hey, I want to build a fitness center in our church. And where our church in Atlanta is, it's kind of next to a big theater and Target, and we're right kind of in the marketplace there. And I said, let's build a fitness center. And everyone freaked a bit. And anyway, we did it. And we just went through 1,100 members in our C3 Fitness. And it's the number one gateway of people coming into our church now. Praise God. Amen. That's good. Yeah. I mean, God's awesome. I'm going to do C3 Fitness minis in and around Atlanta. That we'll put up CrossFit. You know, you guys are going to get CrossFit. It's going to be great. CrossFit's cool. We're putting CrossFit and Zumba. Anybody love Zumba? I don't. But anyway, the girls love it. We're gonna build C3 minis and then put churches in them on Sundays. And so, but I had this whole thing about getting physically well. Jesus came to make us whole, in the sense that He wants all parts of us to go through the redemptive work of the cross. This is instant. This is process. Paul's saying, I'm praying that you get a hold of the unlimited power to get inner strength by the Spirit. So it's the strength comes inwardly by the Spirit. These two are linked. Everything's linked. Just as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one in three, we are one in three. It's all linked. You can't chop off one. You can't just let one get strong and forget about the other. If you want to get healthy physically, start with the heart. Healthy heart, healthy body. That's what I tell people. If you get your heart healthy, lots of cardio, you'll get healthy in your body and you can go from there. Then it says this in verse 17. We're going to wrap it up here. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust Him in your hearts. See, I got Jesus in here. But I need Jesus more and more in here. Paul's praying. He says, I'm praying that the glorious power, the unlimited resources of God would build you on the inside, so that Christ will be more and more at home in your heart. And then I will begin to look like Jesus more. I won't be perfect. God's not looking for, I don't even believe the world is looking for perfection from Christians. They're just looking for a semblance of what Jesus said. And the battle that we Christians face is that the pressure is on us to actually live up to what we preach, to practice what we preach. And practicing what we preach is this zone here, because it begins with our thinking. And if I'm thinking wrong, I'm going to be acting wrong. But Jesus wants to come in and bring wholeness to our soul. If you've been hurt, if people have done things to you, if you're carrying around anger and unforgiveness. These things live and wedge into your soul, and they have outcomes that don't look like Jesus. If we're pondering and looking at things we shouldn't be looking at, if we're conceiving images, because our human nature is we get impressed upon easily. We get stamped on so easily by the images that we see. And so if we allow our vision to see things that are not Christ-like, they will be impressed upon our soul, and then we will live out of them and not look very much like Jesus. There's strength that can come to our soul. That's the change I want. That's how I'm going to become more and more like Jesus, so I can be more sensitive. Because I believe my spiritual effectiveness is tied up to the ability for Jesus to have more and more control of my soul. And the more the influence of Jesus in my mind, in my emotions, I believe that is what's ultimately going to affect my behavior. And that's how change works.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.